Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. We're currently in our series, Venus and Mars. Stay tuned for this week's message.
My beautiful wife, Christine, and I were going to...
Going on my side of the
For the third time this weekend, go to bed in church.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Look, nice pillows.
Fantastic pillows.
Mr. and Mrs.
So
White.
We're halfway through all the questions. We're just taking the shoes off. That's it, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
We
didn't wear our jammies.
So we started out by calling this pillow talk, and it's the kind of things that that Chris and I might talk about when we're in bed.
And you're just getting comfy.
Chatting with one another. Good.
Sorry.
We've been married 42 years. Yeah. But you probably need to know that not every day has been wonderful.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Just like that couple.
Like today. It's really been, today's been good actually, which I'm kind of thankful for because, I said this morning, imagine if you'd had a really bad week and you had to do one of these.
It would I be... know. We kept away from each other all week.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. We didn't.
Yeah.
It's
a secret to a happy marriage to go out at least twice a week. I go out on Monday night, she goes out on Wednesday night. Amen.
You are so naughty.
Yeah. Trying to mix relationships and friendships and marriage and dating, and we're trying to answer a wide range of questions.
Yeah, like we've Saturday night, last night, and this morning, we kind of focused more on marriage
and raising kids.
And
so tonight we're going to talk about raising parents.
We're going to help you raise your parents here. More focused on singles and the questions. You've sent so many, we've got so many questions. This was the biggest bulk of questions. Mm.
So many single guys and girls who are doing great.
Yeah.
Doing amazing. And we're so proud of you. But, there's always going to be challenges. So here's this question. How long to date before you get married?
Yeah,
I was 16, you were 15, and we got married when I was 19 and you were 18.
Yeah. That's right.
And
that was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like... in the 70s, so perhaps society's changed a wee. But I think, what do you reckon, babe? I think the dating period is where you get to know each other. And you get to know each other as to whether you want to go further in that relationship towards, being with each other in marriage. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. That's the whole purpose of dating.
Exactly.
If you don't date... or if you don't get to know someone in a group, how are you ever going to find out if you're compatible?
Right.
So I don't know.
This question is, so what character and behavior do you look for when you're choosing a mate, like a date or a friend, Like all the lists I've read of what girls are looking for in a guy, most at the top of the list, surprisingly, is not money. It's he makes me laugh.
Makes me happy.
It makes me happy.
You have somebody that you have an affinity with.
Yeah.
That's how we got.
Yeah, exactly. And this is really important that you learn how to laugh together.
Yeah.
It's not a lightweight deal, even though it is lightweight. But if you're not buoyant together, it's all serious and intense. You're in trouble. You got to be able to laugh together about the same stuff.
And someone
Chris fell in the pool yesterday.
A couple of days ago now.
2 days ago, yeah.
On that freezing cold morning, Phil was going for a jog along Monavale Beach with Joe, and what's this in relation to?
Being happy,
happy. So I had my UGG boots on. It was freezing. It was early.
Like that girl said in that story, she felt like it was a bit uncool to be happy, but then she kind of got with the show. And said, let's get happy.
Yeah. So I had my thick dressing gown on and jammies, silk ones. They weren't flannelette ones, just so you know. And I went down.
Had your Ugg boots.
I looked over on the balcony and could see
had your sexy Ugg boots.
All clean and
yeah.
Well, you wear them too. Sexy together. You can still wear
not hers, I wear mine.
I got mine. He's got black ones and I've got the natural tanny colour. Yeah. Anyway, I looked over the balcony and I could see the little creepy crawly was stuck on the steps. So I thought, I'll just go down, I'll get the pool scoop and I'll push it out.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I came in the gate, picked up the pool scoop, and it got jammed in a tree behind me as I was walking, and I did a pole vault into the pool. I was like not waving, drowning. I couldn't even call out to Joe, who would have Instagrammed it, I'm sure. So I'm stuck in the pool and drowning, like everything was weighing a ton, so I stripped everything off and ran butt naked back into the house. Nobody saw me because it was so early in the morning. But what you're going to say is...
No, it's like, good. It's like, good. Because I would say, like, Chris fell in the pool. That's right. What a guy says. But a girl has a lot longer version.
Why?
How things go.
What was she wearing?
So the reason I did that, because when you're talking about what kind of behavior should I look for, well, if you're looking for a guy, he should be able to listen to you.
Yeah, nice.
When you're talking.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah, right. I pretend sometimes I'm listening, but yeah. At least that's better than,
talk to him. Yeah. I talk to him about all sorts of things when I know he's playing backgammon.
Yeah.
He just goes, yes, babe, that's great, babe.
Yeah, right. Spending $3,000 tomorrow.
But we've been married.
It's true. You understand those things, don't you?
Yeah, it's like ebb and tide. You know, you've got to, have some ebb and tide.
Yeah.
Have a little...
Warp and woof.
Lighten up a bit. I think that's what you were kind of saying, the dating game. Like, dating's become so intense. Lighten up. Go and have coffee.
Yes, go
to a movie. Get to know each other. Like, okay, so we did... Like, when we started dating, neither of us were Christians. We were at high school together. But our getting to know each other and finding out that we had a lot in common was actually in high school doing... We were in English class together, and we were in school musicals together.
Right.
And Phil was an artist as well. He spent all his lunch hours in the art room. And there were just little things that just went click, click, click.
Affinity. Yeah.
Easy.
So it probably leads into this next
easy
question.
To be with.
This is a really strangely worded question.
Right.
How do you stop having sex before marriage? It's kind of like... So somebody here needs to find out how they can stop. Amen.
Keep your clothes on.
Yeah.
Start.
That's not always going to work.
No, it's not. And I know because...
Stay vertical.
No, that doesn't work because now everybody's... standing up.
It's just about following Christ, isn't it?
Totally.
And if you don't control yourself before you're married... You're not going to have the controls on after marriage.
Right.
Don't think marriage is going to fix everything up.
Mm-mm.
That's just going to whet your appetite. And if you play the field, then it's like somewhere down the line. I mean, and we live in a world that's really gone the reverse of when we were kids. I mean, it was kind of
saturated.
Wrong. But now it's encouraged in school. It's like, what's wrong with you? The devil's thing. You're missing out.
Yeah.
You know, like... And if you buy all that mindset, marriage isn't going to stop it. You know, afterwards, you're going to be thinking, what are you missing? You know, like all these. Mm. And so it's very important that you pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. That's being a disciple. Amen.
That's right. I mean,
there's
that scripture that says, flee youthful...
Lust. Not flee lustful
and
youth.
You should say
that. Which it should be.
So, you know, like, make sure that you're, like, as a young person, in the midst of all these temptations, that you're in a great community of young adults and youth, and that you've got great people speaking into your lives who are going to actually help you stick with those decisions as a follower of Christ, because like you, like we didn't learn those principles of, you know, the moral principles in our families either, because neither of us were raised in Christian households. But once Christ was in our life, then we were in a community where it was like, you're right, I feel good about putting those guidelines into my moral life, into the moral code of my life.
Right.
And that's just, as Phil said, part of what you make a decision, like making a decision to follow Christ. You're going to have days when you just do not want to be a Christian, and you're being, people are ganging up on you, and you're being, like, you know, persecuted, or you feel like the odd guy out or the odd girl out. You've already made the decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. And when that's your top decision, then all those other decisions of morality will fall into place.
Totally.
And it will keep you from
I mean, it's huge. The subject is huge because it's
massive,
like, yeah,
it's
I mean, and in marriage, sex is wonderful. Sex is designed by God. He made everything, you know, and made it to be a beautiful experience and creation of another life. It should be an exquisite experience. But it's not to be spoiled in a whole range of other activities that are going to destroy that part of a person's life, and it has so many repercussions. But it's like it's presented as the meaning of life; it's the pinnacle of experiences. But that's not true. It's just not true. And the fact is that while it's not there, it can become a preoccupation in people's minds, and it can become the end result of everything that you do. Like on the internet, it's so accessible.
Movies, my God.
Movies.
You know, everybody's having sex on the movies and in the magazines. It's like, you know, I feel like, you know, I do actually feel for this generation right now who are just, we never had internet, and, you know, movies and TV was very, you know, it was very, very different when we were growing up. And, you know, you just have to set your sights and make some decisions and stay, like I said, be in a great community. Like here you are tonight, hopefully you're surrounded by great friends and in great connect groups, and encourage each other, really encourage each other to just, and help each other. Like, you know, with dating and stuff, oh, he's a cool guy. Do a little bit of homework for your friends and find out what she's really like or he's really like, you know? And you know, you never know. You just might end up like Phil and Chris Pringle. A great life together.
That's true. Yeah, great life.
From a young age.
But then, you know, it's like, don't think that just because you get married, like I say, that that's going to be the answer to a single life. Because I know plenty of married people who want to be single again.
Yeah.
As much as many single people want to be married. It's about actually getting a fulfillment, a completion with one another that's not about just about sex, but it's about a whole range of life, companionship, laughing together, loving the same things together. The highest thing I can think of in choosing people that you want to do life with is that you're looking in the same direction. Chris and I are completely committed to serving the Lord and to building the church. And I have a very strong vision about that. And Chris flows in with that. She says, sure, let's do that, babe. And helps with the accomplishment of all of that thing. And if you can find a relationship and create a relationship like that, then you're going to find yourself traveling through the difficult moments with a far greater ease than if you're going in two different directions.
Yeah.
And so that's why the Bible says don't be unequally yoked, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, if even within the kingdom of God, if you got somebody who's wanting to do this and you're wanting to do that, you really need to get that equality, that affinity of commonality about purpose and gifting and dreams together.
Yeah, it's that getting to know. Getting to know all about you. Get to know somebody, because that's the thing. Because a lot of, you know, don't be tricked in thinking that, oh, because I'm a Christian and he's a Christian, it'll all work out. You know, you've got to, you know, get to know each other and find out whether you've not just affinity, but you should be attracted to each other.
Sure.
You should like each other as not just have the hots for each other.
Right.
You know, but really check it out, because marriage, if marriage is what it really is in your heart, then it's for your whole life.
That's true.
And so, you know, you don't have to rush in. Don't rush in. And just, you know, like, oh, wow, you know, he said it's God's will for me to be with him. Don't, what's that?
Right.
No, check it out, you know? And you know, just because, like, you're both Christians together, like, we had our first creative arts baby because a male and female were doing their assignments at 2 a.m. in the morning together in the bed. Like,
they weren't married.
No.
Right.
You know, we're doing, how did that happen? Oh, we were just doing our assignment together. No boundaries, no parameters. So, you know, be sensible and help each other.
Yeah.
You know, help your girlfriends, help your guy friends and say, don't act like that. That's just not cool. Like, help each other.
And
Disciple each other.
I think you've got to get really truthful about your emotions too. I really do want to do that. That's why I need to go and not put myself in a predicament.
Correct.
So you have what I'd call precisions rather than decisions in the moment.
Yeah,
you make the decision before the event and you make it in here. You say, I'm going to follow Christ.
Yep.
I'm not going to let myself get in a situation, because once you're in a situation, your head's not thinking anymore.
Yeah.
You're being overtaken by an appetite and passion and all that, and you think, oh, we'll be all right. But the consequences are so far-reaching and so deep that you've got to make personal policies, if you like, about what you're going to do. And that's why church is so important. Like we sang before, here I am on this altar.
Yeah.
And being on the altar means I'm going to stay there when I leave church as well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you see, the development of character doesn't take place without those kind of decisions.
Yeah.
And most people's problems happen because of character flaw. Their character is just not strong enough to face life and to make strong decisions and to face conflict and confront difficult moments.
Yeah.
But when you say, I'm going to pick up my cross, deny myself, even though I want to, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
You develop character strength that spills out into every other area of your life that will equip you and empower you for all sorts of circumstances that everybody faces.
I agree. And the great thing about, you know, being in this house, if you have stumbled and fallen, there's forgiveness and there's grace. And you pick yourself up and you go, well, you know, that was a lesson learned. I'm just going to stand up and get my life right and walk with Jesus. And no condemnation.
You can
wipe that slate clean and start again. We're here for you. Mum and Dad are here for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
How to go about arguments. How can I argue well? When I'm dating, married, or even with parents.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure arguing is the right word. It's like, that's okay, so you're in disagreement. But the Lord, he says, like, find the points of agreement. Agree quickly with your adversary.
Yeah.
Before you experience worse consequences. So I try never to have an argument with people. But, okay, so you might try, but there are going to be moments. Chris and I have huge arguments.
We've had some Bobby Dazzies.
Huge. And, they can go on for 2 days and all that because, you know, the scripture says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So we figure that just means stay up all night and fight. But, you know, and that, I kind of think, I don't know, but I think that's worse than the deadly silence, you know, where it's just cold silence in a house and people are angry under the surface. And they won't talk to each other.
It's better to get it out.
So we say, oh, you did that, and you did that, and you never, and you always, and, you know, like all those big generalized statements come out, and you've never. You know. So
and,
once,
and it can happen between a child and parent.
Yeah, it can.
Well.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can argue well. I'm not sure that there is a way, but I do think you've got to get to the other side of that difficult moment with peace and not with bitterness. You've got to resolve it and end up with sweetness somehow at the end of a bitter time and say, look, I'm so sorry. And the only way to stop an argument is to confess your part in it without accusing the other person.
Yeah.
Say, look, I've blown this. I've messed up. I'm so sorry. And you don't say then, but you had a part to play too.
No.
You don't do that. You say, I'm sorry, I messed up. And then the other person can say the same. Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye before you remove the speck in the other person.
And I think too, like if when that happens, if you really do have love in your heart for that person, you'll say, I accept and I'm so sorry too. I think that just let love never fails. And whether it's husband to wife, brother to sister, child to mum or dad, mum and dad to child, then that having that heart of forgiveness where you're able to say sorry will cover and get you through a lot in life so that you're not becoming bitter and critical and there's nothing worse letting that fester. So
there's a lot of questions in here. Maybe we've got about 10 minutes.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So there's a lot of questions in here about parents and, you know, how do I relate to my parents when they don't like my boyfriend, don't like my girlfriend? How do you respect your parents even when you're upset with them and they're asking you to do something that is against God's word or what you've learned in church? How do you do all that? Relating to parents when it's difficult.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, you know, I think I'm assuming the question is that I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
The son and daughter is a Christian. Yeah. Mum and dad are
maybe
not.
Maybe are, maybe not. Some of them
maybe
have gone
are,
to
maybe
another
not.
Church.
I think, look, this, my opinion would be take the low road. Take the road of humility and do your best to disarm conflict. I think the worst thing that we can do as kids, and it used to be a big joke in our family, you know, pre-Christ and then after Christ, that, you know, the Bible would come out and, oh, she's always talking about the Bible. And so you're persecuted, especially if you're now using your Christianity against your parents. I think you have to be really careful. The Bible does say, for a reason, honor your parents. And that doesn't mean that you have to sin, right? But you honor them. You don't have to criticize them. You commit that friction and those disagreements to God in prayer and just love and be a great son and a great daughter in a home and clean your room and, you know, like it's all right to say Jesus has saved me and, you know, you're going to hell, which is a terrible thing to say to your parents, but, you know, your testimony...
That's difficult to say when your bedroom's going to hell.
Yeah.
And,
like so, you know, the way that we win another person is, you know, it's like he that wins a soul is wise.
Right.
Same for a son and a daughter to a parent.
Yeah.
Love that home. If mum and dad ask you to do something, do it and clean your room and help around the home and win their hearts through your life. That's the best demonstration of your faith. Not witnessing to them. Let your life be a witness.
Sure. Yeah. And
start there. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Start there. I think so. You know, when you're, I was trying to think of a TV show, one TV show or one movie where I've seen a child respecting their parents, and I can't think of one. It's always bad mouthing their parents or smart mouthing or answering back or slamming doors and walking out. The son's always upset with the father. And it's like meant to be how it is everywhere. Well, don't take your lead from that.
Yeah.
You can have a great relationship with your dad. Yeah. And you can have a great relationship with your mum.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be all tense and every other way. But if you start to think of their life, rather than just thinking about what you want, I want to go to the party, I want to have this boyfriend. If you think, what do they want? And try and help them get what they would like, which is what Chris is saying. You know, clean house and helping around the yard and doing these things. All of that, once they see a transformation in your life, that's going to win parents' hearts way more than preaching at them, like you said. Yeah.
And I think too, like a lot of the questions were like, I'm a young Christian, you know, when should I, and my parents are really anti-God, and if they find out that I'm coming to a church like this, then, oh, it's going to be all hell's going to break loose. You know what? That's not an uncommon fact. And as time goes by, as you keep following Christ, right, and you get older, that love and respect will come back to you. And I know that for a fact. that happened to Phil and I.
Both our families pretty well rejected us when we met Jesus.
And brothers and sisters.
And brothers and sisters wrote letters to us and said, what are you doing?
Oh, God, it was awful. Mm-hmm. And but you know what? We just...
Pretty well all of them have come to Christ.
All of them have come to Christ.
Yeah.
And over many years.
Yeah.
Not overnight.
But I wrote letters to my parents saying I'm sorry for being such an idiot when I was a teenager.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for not shooting me. And, you know, but even though I felt they had done a whole bunch of stuff wrong, the environment I lived in was yelling, screaming, a lot of anger, shouting, plates being thrown, swear, you know, just quite violent. And I didn't mention all that, though. I just felt like when I met the Lord, I'd done some stupid things myself that had not honored them, that had made them embarrassed about me. Yeah. And so I was apologizing for that.
Yeah.
And I think that helped open their hearts, even though it was still a bit chilly. And my brother, he certainly didn't want anything to do with what I'd done meeting the Lord. But when we started this church, the first convert to come to Christ was my brother. He was in the first meeting, and he came to Jesus. It was awesome.
It was fantastic.
And then my sister and her husband have come to Christ, and so it spreads throughout your world if you maintain exactly what Chris was saying, the low road. You don't go in heavy-handed trying to turn them all around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Love it. What next, darling? Awfully quiet tonight.
Yeah.
You're way quiet.
It's all right. Yeah. My parents won't let me grow up. They're so strict. I don't even know my own Facebook password. What shall I do?
Darling, you're 11 years old.
Just kidding. Well, yeah, you can if you're going to have, freaked out parents where they've got Find My Friends on your phone and with location devices. So. And there are some parents I know who are really into that. And I think that's a fair enough thing until a certain age.
Yeah.
And then there is a certain age where the leash might be able to be let out a little further. And I think a conversation with your parents explaining, look, I feel like I'm mature enough to actually be allowed to do this right now. Is there any possibility we could lengthen the leash a little?
Yeah.
And let them come to a conclusion. If you're shown to be rational and you're not throwing a tantrum, then you're going to be able to have a good conversation that could lead to a greater freedom.
I agree.
Mm. Good. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question now. Why? How come we've managed to get to 42 years?
Well, first of all, I'd say that we have had an incredible life following the Lord.
Yeah.
We've been on the same page there.
Right.
And that, the call upon us as a couple, has helped get us through some pretty difficult years and pressures, whether it was in our parenting, whether it was in our marriage, whether it was financial, whether it was just dealing with leadership issues as church leaders. I think we like each other.
Yeah.
We found, in the different stages of our life.
I like your nose.
Life.
Your nose is great.
Yeah, I like your nose.
You've got
nose.
Great teeth. Yeah, your smile's unbelievable. Yeah. No, you're good looking. Amazing.
I didn't snort, I just squeaked.
Yeah, I did. I always snort. Yeah, yeah.
But I think in your different seasons.
You always smell good.
Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my Gucci rush.
Yeah, right. No, it's just your hair sometimes.
Oh, isn't that good?
Yeah. It's good.
So, I'm just trying to think.
You're lots of fun.
You know what?
You're a lot of fun.
You really are
hospitable. You're really, when people come around, you're nice. You know, that makes me proud. It's great.
That's
you know?
Great. Yeah. And what about you? You're an awesome guy. You're a sweet guy.
Bumble along.
You know, he's a really sweet guy, isn't he? He's a great leader, but he's a sweet guy.
We've grown together.
We've found, here's the other thing, okay?
Right.
There have been times.
Love your new glasses. Your glasses are good.
Thanks, babe.
I love yours too. And your toenail stuff.
I know, I've got to get them fixed tomorrow.
Right, okay.
Looking a bit like the claws.
So you've got to like each other, right?
Yeah.
It's good to like each other. But there are things about you that sometimes I haven't liked.
I didn't answer. You asked me.
I know. But what I'm going to say to you is that I just think you're going to be, there are going to be things about me that you don't like.
Yep.
Sometimes.
Yeah, not much.
So, it would be real schmaltzy, like if we just said, oh, I like you. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we don't. There are things that we don't like about each other as well. But we don't go there.
Yep.
Sometimes my brain wants to. I say, get out of there.
Yeah, I do the same.
That's not a good place to go.
Don't go there, Chris.
Because when you're young, you kind of go there and you talk about it. But in the big scheme of things, that little thing is nothing. It's a nothing thing. What are you getting upset about? Think about all the good stuff, the great stuff. And if you can force your mind to do that rather than constantly hijacked by some niggly little thought that blows up all the good stuff, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You've got to stick with all those beautiful little things that are good.
That's right.
That are great.
You've got to row the boat together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Okay, so there have been like times where an hour for us in leadership, that ministry has been the responsibility and the time issues and that have been top heavy.
Right.
And then there'll be a bit of a blow up and then we'll make adjustments. And now that, you know, we're like into our 60th year.
Not you.
I'm in my heading towards 60 in March. You know, we've just made sure that we've got a balance in our relationship where there are things that we love to do together. We found the commonality in sailing. We love doing that. We can leave the shore and go somewhere, local or remote, and we found that.
It's good.
You know, so
find
you've
your spaces.
Find your spaces that are where you just.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know, like
be together is.
I think also that if I could say this, I've read about ladies, and I've never experienced this, but ladies who are clingy, needy, and guys really don't like that, and you're not like that, which has been good. So being able to set your guy free so that he goes and does his job and does his work without checking in every 5 minutes. It's okay, babe. I'm at work. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You know, if there's an air of suspicion and clinginess in a relationship, I think that really suffocates the trust that should be there. Giving each other the ability to breathe and be an individual, I think, really helps in a relationship.
I totally agree because a lot of potentially great relationships, this is even in the dating phase, are totally ruined because of that suffocating, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't ring me every night. Oh, for goodness sake, get over it. Get over it now. Like, you know, he's so busy with his career and everything. That's right.
Yes.
That's what men do. They're hunters, they're gatherers. Get over it. You know, have a hobby yourself. And that goes for guys too. Like, and I think that's it. Like, Phil goes away, I create my own environment when he's away and I'm like, go babe, have a great time. And, you know, I'll be here when you get back and I can have, I have all sorts of sleepovers with my grandsons now and do things with Rebecca, our daughter, and have girlfriends, go out with girlfriends, and I don't have to cook dinner. I can go to bed at 7 o'clock if I want to in my jammies and not my Ugg boots because they're ruined now.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, so we're about out of time, babe.
I hope this has been
helpful. A little helpful. Yeah, amen.
We really love you guys.
Thanks.
We love you. Mwah. Totally love you. I just want to say that Phil and I, you know, we really care for you. We understand that, you know, everybody's at different parts in their lives and relationships. Some are married, some are single. And we just want to say how much we love you and we just love being your pastors and hope that, you know, this has been helpful in some way tonight.
Totally.
Love you heaps.
Thanks.
Mwah.
Good.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.